All right, we are here. We are Galexis and welcome. We're so pleased that you are coming to be with us today to learn about the magic of true motivation and that you are motivated, so motivated to be with us. Yes, we want to talk about motivation because motivation is something that everyone takes for granted. Everyone is trained to have motivation because if you don't have motivation, you never achieve anything in your life. And motivation is assumed that there are certain kinds of motivation that people do, and that's the way it is. But what we're going to talk about today is your true motivation. Now, motivation itself is the urge, the impetus, the ooch, the juice that fuels your activities. Motivation, when you're feeling motivated, you're enthusiastic, you're excited, you're raring to go, you have something you want to do, and you're motivated to do something that is going to bring you a greater sense of happiness. Perhaps it's expressing who you are more. Perhaps it's achieving something that is important to you. Whatever it is, this motivation is the juice. If you don't have motivation, you just don't have the juice. It's like you just don't have the electricity to run your machine. Now, motivation comes from your essential divine self. Most people don't think of the motivation that comes from the greater you, comes from God. God is all that is. But there is motivation that is part of your spiritual path and indeed is the underlying factor enabling you to walk your spiritual path. When you are in true motivation, you are smack dab on your spiritual path. If you feel that you've wandered off your spiritual path, if you feel that you're stuck, if you feel that your reality is moving sluggishly, if you feel things are not working the way you want them to, and you're frustrated or you're tired, then your motivation is going to be down. And you're not going to be on your correct spiritual path. Generally, when people get on their spiritual path and they know they are there and they feel it, it's like they say, I have a calling. I've been called and I am here and now I'm doing my calling. This is what I came to do. That is your spiritual motivation. And you got it, actually, as part of your divine body. All right, and by that we mean that before you came into this life, you and your team were reviewing and looking at what you wanted to do and what themes you wanted to explore and what activities and kinds of things you wanted to get into, what adventures you wanted to go, what you wanted to learn, what you wanted to bring forth and express that's uniquely yours. When you were looking at your unique lifetime, before you came here, when you were still conscious of choosing to come here, you were highly motivated. That motivation, you understood. It was connected to who you are. It was connected to your divine self. That motivation was natural to you. You had no idea that when you came into your physical lifetime, that you would forget who you were. You kind of knew that was part of the program because you wanted to come here and learn how to create and learn and grow and love and everything from scratch. You wanted to kind of like clear the playing field and then start doing something, then learning as you go by the seat of your pants. You thought this was like a glorious adventure, and it is. A tremendous reality creation experience that enables you to be part of the God, Goddess, all that is-ness that you are. It's part of your nature to learn how to become divine in expression yourself. You know, there's the expression, you're a child of God. Yes, you're a child of the divine, and you grow up to be divine yourself. And so these lifetimes are part of the adventure, and these are where you learn how to be your divine self. All right, so you're highly motivated. Why? Because you know that when you get these lifetimes and so on, that the result of this, that the ultimate purpose or aim of doing all these lifetimes and all these adventures is that you'll have fun and you'll learn how to manifest and create, and then you will return. You will return to God, Goddess, all that is. Not just by dying. Everybody returns to a certain extent by dying, but this return you want to do is beyond the self who chose to come into physicality. This is beyond birth and death. This is beyond. You want to experience divine union. You want to experience love that is infinite, that goes on forever and ever. You want to actually go beyond time, space, beyond form, beyond mind, beyond limitation, to merge into the oneness, and then from there to connect with, to merge with God. God is all that is. That's home. And you've been separate by choice. You've been separating yourself. It's an illusion, but this whole physical plane is an illusion. It's an illusion of separation. And when you have that illusion of separation, you live within it, i.e. in the physical body, forgetting your divine connection and having to recreate it, reestablish it, this sense of separation always is like a drum beat inside you, calling you, saying there's something missing, there's something I'm moving to, something I've got to get to, something, somewhere I've got to go, there's something I've got to find, something that's greater, something I've got to discover, something I've got to grow. And in a sense, that separation creates the impetus, the urge, the calling to return to the divine. It's not a calling to die. Oh, no, it's not just to go back to the astral plane, have a nice time, and come back. It's really to go beyond that. You want to end the sense of separation. You want to end that loneliness, that isolation, that separation. You are highly motivated, dear ones. Highly motivated to go and do that. Come on, I'm going to, somehow or another, I'm going to move towards whatever I need to in order to reconnect to my greater self, in order to move towards the greater me, in order to move to the divine. I'm going to do it. This is your spiritual path. And you're highly motivated. Now, once you get into the physical body, however, you have forgotten as part of your plan. And in order for you to get back on your divine path in this lifetime, you have to remember what it is that you're going for. You have to feel the motivation. You have to get motivated. Now, when you're born, your physical body, being a kind of a downstepped energetic reflection vehicle of your divine self and of your perfectly matching your intentions for this lifetime, your physical body is programmed with certain amounts of instinct, certain basic programs. Your brain is programmed to learn and pick up language, movement, to coordinate your limbs, to be able to build yourself, to sustain yourself, so that ultimately you can be an individual adult. Your body gives you, just by its programming, your brain, your body, your hormones, everything is attuned to give you motivation to live. You know, there are people who have horrendous, horrendous lives. And then they finally, after a long period of having a horrendous life, then they get cancer or something like that. And so now they have to fight the cancer. It's amazing how much fight a person has, how much desire to survive that is instinctual in the body, how much resistance to death there is. That's part of the program of your motivation. Your motivation, first of all, in the physical form, is to survive. Now, yes, that's a need. You need to survive. And so you're programmed for basic needs. You're programmed to survive, which means you've got to have air and food and water. You've got to sleep. You've got to digest. You've got to eliminate. You've got to do basic, programs for your body. That's, everybody's got those. Okay? This runs on automatic. And so when you're a child, your desire for survival because you can't survive by yourself. So you basically look to your parents or guardians to take care of you. You love them in your own way through needing them. You depend on them. And you seek love. You seek to please your parents or guardians. You seek to please them so that they will love you and take care of you. You seek to please them so much, afraid so much that they may leave you. This happens around 2 to 3 years of age. You realize, oops, you know, they're separate beings and they could possibly abandon me. Oh my gosh. The fear of abandonment so strong in a child. Out of this fear comes the motivation to make sure that the child is loved and gets enough attention. So that's a basic motivation, a basic survival motivation. A desire, a motivation to eat, to breathe, to live. Now, by the time you get into later childhood, your motivations are more complex. Maybe you read little books at school and you have fantasies and adventures and you play and pretend to be different characters and you explore the fun of creating stories for yourself. Every child has stories they make up for themselves. They make up stories about their parents and themselves. Some kids who don't feel that they're getting much love will make up a story, well, I don't really belong to this family. But you make up stories. This is part of your nature as a divine being. There are three channels of divine expression that are part of your motivation. One is to love, touch, heal. Now, as a child, you can't really do too much of that. You can love at very elementary levels. You want to connect. You want to be held. You want to be touched. You want to be hugged. You want to be loved. All right. You don't know quite how to do it to others, but you know that you're seeking it for you. You also, the second channel is to dream, imagine, create, manifest. And again, and as a child, it's very elementary. But you're motivated to create. What child that's normal in its development doesn't want to create? You know, you give a child a coloring book, or give a child a some. Nowadays, you give them a cell phone and movies. But they still want to play. They want to create something. All right. As you grow older, this of course becomes more complex. And then the third one is the eagerness to learn. You want to learn and grow, and you want to become more. You want to grow up. You want to learn. You want to explore. You want to discover and find out things. You're so curious. These are three natural channels that you are, by your very nature, motivated to do, to express through, to activate. Now, as you get into adolescence, you're still looking for survival, but maybe hopefully you have that kind of taken care of. But now you're looking for belonging. Now you're looking for that sense of being part of something, that sense of connection, that sense of community. So the love, touch, heal becomes connection to your community. Then you want to, create and manifest. You want to create relationships. You want to build and grow things, situations and opportunities. And you want to, it's all leading to being happier, all leading to being loved, all leading to feeling like you're more expanding, learning, growing. You're curious. Now, when you're a child, you have a certain duality to live off of. You have a parent and a child dynamic. A lot of people have used that in psychology to work with people, because there's a parental voice that gets installed in your head when you're a kid, and you know at some point, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. I know if I do that, I'm going to get into trouble. When you're an adolescent, you work off of your ego. Your ego says, here is who I am as distinct to who others are. And here is my boundaries. Here is what I'm about. For the first time, you really kind of get a sense of yourself as an independent person outside of just belonging to your parents, but belonging to more. Adolescence is not an easy time for people, but in terms of motivation, it's supreme, because the body dumps hormones into you, and boy, are you motivated. Those hormones motivate you. Wow, do they motivate you. They motivate you for passion and sex and love, and oh my gosh, you just get so motivated. And you can't help it. That's the program of the body. And you learn all sorts of things. You imagine and fantasize what it is you really want. You start dreaming and pine. Maybe you have a crush on somebody and you pine after them and have fantasies of yourself with that person. But adolescence has its own sense of booster of motivation that comes with the belonging. And sad to satisfy that need, which is a higher octave, appearing to be a higher octave of just safety and security, which you seek as a child. And then you come to adulthood. You enter adulthood still pretty much an adolescent. Hormones are still going pretty well. And now, instead of a community or peers, like at your high school or something, now you're moving into the world. You're an independent person in the world. You function independently in the world. And your motivation there is, oh, I want to do something in the world. I've got to do something. School is ending, and now I've got to earn money. Now I've got to survive on my own, not being just supported. I'm not just having a part-time job to help me here. I've got to really support myself. I've really got to find out how to do this thing called life, this adulthood thing. And the young adult is filled with imagination. It's possibly one of the most amazing times in your life. You have visions and fantasies and imagination and possibilities and dreams and visions. Big dreams, big visions. And one of the things that comes with it is a certain cockiness, actually. It's not, you think you know everything when you enter adulthood, and you don't know a diddly squat, but you think you know it, right? So you act as if you know it, and you assume that the way the world should work is this way that you've imagined, and so you're going to operate as if that were true because, hey, that's the way the world should work. And you see people not adhering to this way that the world should work, and you're like, what's wrong with them? Well, you have to learn something with your ego in your 20s as well. The young adult period kind of ends, or at the end of the 20s, with your Saturn return, which as an astrological phenomena, in which the planet Saturn, which represents time and learning, makes one full circle around your horoscope. It goes all 360 degrees back to its original position, and you start a new cycle of time. But in this young adult period, your motivation starts to become up to you. It's no longer a given. It's no longer like, you know, a survival for just basic survival for basic needs and with your parents or guardians. It's no longer dealing with your ego and identification and who you are as separate from who other people are. And it's not about that anymore. Your motivation is no longer propelled by your hormones, although you still have plenty of energy, generally, if you're a normal, healthy person, plenty of energy in your 20s to go and explore and discover and find out what it is you really want to do. But there comes a time where you find that you have big, big dreams, but you really don't want to do all the drudgery, day-to-day routine work to get there. Most young people getting into the world and getting jobs start at the bottom. Very few kids start at the top with very, very wealthy parents and their corporate offices or whatever. Most kids start at the bottom. And all of a sudden, it's kind of a shock. You have to motivate yourself to do a low-wage job. You have to motivate yourself to do something that maybe you don't really want to do. So you have all these dreams. I want to go there. I want to do this. I want to do that. But, man, this requires a lot of energy doing stuff I don't want to do. I don't want to work so hard. I'd much rather play. I'd much rather travel and have adventures. But no, I've got to survive. I've got to make some money. I've got to pay for my apartment. I've got to pay for all my technology. I've got to pay for my car. I've got to pay for stuff. Oh gosh, I've got to work. Now, what happens here is that because the young adult is so imaginative, they can see the completed goal of what they want, like so. And why can't I just go there? Why do I have to plod here over here on this other thing, and then maybe I can do something that makes a little more money over here, and that maybe eventually I can get to that? That's very discouraging. So your motivation can flag. You're motivated perhaps by competition. Sometimes that gets very tiring. It's like, okay, some people thrive on competition, but really they learn how to compete by competing with their previous athletic record, for example, or their previous achievements. Then they compete, in a sense, with themselves to go higher and higher. But they are triggered to motivate by competition. Others, when there's competition shows up, go, oh no, I have no interest in competition. And so they'll go somewhere else. But the fact is that the motivation now has to be supplied by you. It has to be supplied by you as an independent human being, by your choice, because this is a free will universe. Your team is helping you as much as they can. They're bringing all sorts of feedback to you, bringing things to you to look at and think about and explore. But they can't get you on your path. It's now time for you to get yourself on your path. So what do you do? You say, somehow or another, I've got to motivate myself to continue working this boring job. It was fine for the first couple of weeks. That was really fun and exciting. I was just learning all sorts of good stuff. But now it's routine, and I'm still not being paid more, and I don't feel like I'm getting any closer to my dreams. How am I going to maintain the routine? How am I going to keep going? Well, there's never, doesn't seem to be enough time, never seems to be enough money, there's not enough productivity, you're not getting where you want to fast enough. You may not feel that you're smart enough, you may feel as something not enough. And this is very frustrating. So what do? You install within yourself, within your mind talk, what we call the inner slave driver. Your false motivation. You may not know how to motivate yourself other than, oh, this is what I should do, and this is my obligation. I've got to do that. So how are you going to do that if your mind doesn't tell you, hey, you lazy bum, get up out of bed and go to work? Because if you don't go to work, you won't make any money, and you'll end up homeless and eating out of garbage cans on the street, and this is humiliating, and this is shameful, and this is stupid. Okay, whip, crack the whip. Okay, I'll get up out of bed. Oh, shoot, I don't really feel like it. Okay, I will, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of poverty. I'm afraid of loss. I'm afraid I won't have enough. I won't survive. Okay, all right, I'll get up. Or it can ply you with guilt. If you think you've got to be if you have already have children, or you in your job you have to, you know, effectively serve or take care of somebody, or you have issue that you have to take care of for your parents or whatever. If there's some kind of family duty or obligation, or obligation or duty to another person, that mind talk, the slave driver, will tell you, well, shame on you, you selfish, selfish person. You need to go help this other person. You need to do this for this other person. So get your lazy bum out of bed and go do what you know you need to do for this other person. This is your duty. This is your obligation as a good person. And if you don't do this, you're not a good person. You're a bad person. And then you don't deserve anything. Your life will be screwy. Your life will be awful. You won't be, God won't love you. God will reject you. Sometimes your slave driver really puts it on the line, you know. God will do this to you. And those of you who've been trained through fundamentalist religion know what we're talking about. All the guilt You know, people joke about Jewish guilt, Catholic guilt. Well, everybody gets plied with guilt. Most people have mothers. Mothers are not, don't know how to manage their kids from a place of relative powerlessness that they have without using guilt. So you have a guilt voice internalized in your head starting from the time you're a kid, but it, boy, does it wake up when you're in your 20s. Because you have to do the whole thing all by yourself. You don't have your mother calling you up and saying, have you brushed your teeth today? You don't. You have to do all this stuff. It's all yours. It's on you. So you have the fear. You have the guilt. Some people are motivated by through the slave driver about, you know, their spirituality. You haven't meditated enough. You haven't done enough good works to others. You haven't served enough. You're not kind enough, good enough, compassionate enough, loving enough. That's why you don't have your dream partner. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is. The rationale that is used in your head to motivate you becomes toxic. That's the slave driver. You give your power of motivation over to your slave driver, who works at you through what is your mind talk, or also known as the monkey mind, which gives you all the bullshit of the day to convince you that you are some kind of inadequate, lazy person that's got to work harder, do more, be smarter, give more, serve more, achieve more, something, everything more, 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 more. It's like people who are ridden by the slave driver get to the end of the day and they feel very frustrated. I didn't get enough done today. That's the slave driver. With a slave driver, you will never, ever have enough, do enough, or be enough. What this does is create within you a tremendous discomfort, sometimes self-loathing. Sometimes it reinforces your shame, your pain. It can destroy you. It can keep you from having fun, because if you take time off for fun, the slave driver says, what do you think you're doing? You're not getting anything done, you lazy bum. You're not doing anything for anybody else. You're just being selfish and you're wasting your time. You're wasting time. You've got to get on track to achieve your dreams. If you don't keep going, if you don't keep plugging along, you're not going to get your dreams. And you go, oh, well, I just wanted to veg, you know, at the beach and read this trashy novel. I just wanted to hang out. No! You've got to get your act together. You got to get make more money. You've got to get out there and do stuff. You've got to be important. You've got to contribute to the planet. You've got whatever the slave driver knows is your weak spot, where you can feel the guiltiest, it will play that card. It will scare the bejesus out of you that horrible things will happen if you don't get on doing this or that now. And if you don't have something, it means you may never have it unless you do more and do enough. And there's never, never any indication, never any message to you, never tells you, the slave driver, when enough comes. Because there's never enough. That's just the key. Now, once the slave driver is installed, which is generally in the 20s, the slave driver can stay in you the rest of your life. And you'll be driven to do things that are not your true motivation. But you think, if I just do this for a few years and then I do that for a few years, then maybe I can get to doing what I want to do. You keep postponing yourself. You keep postponing your desire, your imagination, your creation, your creativity. You keep postponing it. Now, unless you decide, okay, I'm going to go for my creativity, and then you may imbibe into the guilt program, guilt and fear program of the starving artist, the struggling artist, you know, the unappreciated, and can you make the rent this month? There's lots of ways the slave driver gets you. Lots of ways. But it's generally narrowed down to the few for you that work the best to keep you in fake motivation and false motivation, keep you motivated to do what society wants you to do, what other people have said, this is the good thing to do. You're patterning yourself after other people. You want to be successful, make a lot of money. Well, you're going to pattern yourself after this course that this millionaire gives. This is what I did, da, 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 da. It may have absolutely no connection to your temperament, have nothing to do with your nature, but you're going to go through the forms anyway and try to do them, and most of the time that fails. For most people, those grow-rich schemes fail. Why? Because the people are not doing them in true motivation. One of the marks of the young adult personality, the big dreamer who's frustrated and impatient, feeling more entitled to have what they want, kind of like a princess or prince, I should have what I want because I'm smart and I know how the world should work, and to find out that they can't, they're very angry. So what they tend to do is to try to find shortcuts. And most people's idea that's given to society through media and everywhere is that if you make a humongous boatload of money, huge amount of money, you'll be set for life, and then you can finally figure out who you are and what you want to do. And the young adult falls for that. Now, if you really mature, you don't fall for that anymore. But the young adult personality that is uniquely born in the 20s, even in your 40s or 50s, you can be thinking, oh, if I can do a huge big deal, a big deal, we can get a big deal, make a humongous amount of money all at once. We don't know how many friends that we speak with who have gotten into these big deals. And when the big deals first start, they're in their glory. Oh, look at all the magnificent things. I'm going to live like a king. This is going to be fabulous. We're going to help the planet. See, I am not going to have any guilt because I'm going to have this money. We're going to make big differences on the planet. We're going to do this wonderful thing and that wonderful thing and serve humanity and so on. But what the young adult forgets is how to get from here to there. So they make all this big deal, and they think they're going to have these huge transactions of money, and they're going to have these partners, and the partners are all going to, this is a marketing partner, that partner's going to do that, and this partner's going to do that. And they're all in young adult dream mode. Nothing can materialize. Generally, it gets very, very close. It's very exciting. It could be this week. It could happen this week. It's been delayed. Okay. Oh, it's been 2 months. Okay, it could happen this week. It could, any time now, it could. It's been delayed. Oh, okay. The partners start to squabble. somebody's doing all the work and bitching about it, and the other people think, well, I'm just waiting for you to do it. Squabble, squabble, squabble. Everything falls apart. It's over. How many big deals never made it? Because it was a bunch of young adults in fantasy mode trying to make it happen. Okay, so the point we're making is that when you're in false motivation, when you let the slave driver run you, when you believe the slave driver when it tells you how you're not good enough and how you have to work so much harder and push and drive yourself and push through the pain, with that slave driver pushing you, pushing you, pushing you, where are you going to get to? You're going to just be in a loop, a shame loop. You're going to put energy into something, and then when your motivation fails, you get the slave driver to kick ass you to continue. You know, like you get a new job. First 2 or 3 weeks are great. Then you have to get the slave driver so that you can endure the routine, and so you can endure while you have to put up with some kind of cranky boss, while you have to put up with quarrelsome, you know, clients or coworkers or whatever. You have to put up with all of this. That you have to make yourself put up with that. So, after a while, now it works at first, but as you go through the years and you're unable to live according to your true motivation, or you haven't found your true motivation, or you don't have a clue where to go to look for your true motivation, or you don't even know that there is such a thing. You just think that this motivation by the slave driver, that's what everybody has. That's what you've got to just kick yourself harder. That's all there is. You've got to discipline yourself. You've got to be more productive. You got to push and drive. That's all that, and you're behind all the time. So you never can catch up. So you got to work really hard and faster and faster and faster. And once you get on that track, you're not on your spiritual path, really. That's a deviation. Because when you're on your slave driver track, your team cannot help you. It's your choice to go for the fake motivation, which is not you. Now, people go, what? But I've got duties and obligations. I've got work to do. I've got to make money. I've got to survive. I can't just walk away. That's true. But motivation is not a physical thing. It's an internal, psychic, emotional, spiritual thing. Motivation is chosen by you. You can motivate yourself no matter what circumstances you're in. At first, you don't, oh, that's not possible. I can't motivate myself to do drudge work. How does somebody motivate themselves to clean up cesspools and toilets? And, well, people can motivate themselves. You can motivate yourself by being you and making the choice, which is the light way, or you can choose the dark way by getting the slave driver in there to drive you to work every day. Go, go, come on, hurry up, come in. So which one would you want? Where would you like to go from here? Okay. Now, people who don't get off the slave driver track never find their true motivation. They may get on their spiritual path, but they never can stick to it. They never can do what they need to do to maintain it. They get there and they get an experience. Yes, yes, I'm going to meditate every day. But when the slave driver comes in and says, you haven't meditated yet today, when are you going to meditate? It changes everything over from choice to duty obligation. Now think about it. Would you rather do things out of choice because you want to, because you choose to, as an empowered being? Or would you rather have the slave driver push and kick you and judge you and be like a, a dictator, a dictator on top of you? What do you choose? What motivates you? Well, if you just think about it, okay, what motivates you? How do you motivate yourself right now? Do you motivate yourself mostly by your slave driver? Are those dreams and fantasies that you hope that someday you will fulfill, are those the dreams and fantasies of your young adult self that you no longer are? Is a slave driver pushing you to achieve an agenda that you set in motion 20, 30 years ago that no longer applies? Is your major motivation to make money? See, there's a lot of training out there. There are money trainings all over the internet, everywhere. There are people training other people how to make big money by doing a certain formula. One of the more popular ones is the launch formula, where you figure out how to launch your product and sell your product through a certain specific emails and events and teleseminars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you bank it all up and you do this and you do that and you work with this and you work with that and you do. And there's a whole formula and people go and you learn the formula and they start the formula. And some people do it. But most people are doing it for the money. If money is your major objective, if that's what you want more than you think, okay, if I just get the money, then everything else will be fine. If money solves your problems, we want to tell you that as a spiritual being, you're probably not going to get the money. Now, we're going to go into much more, we go into much more detail in our money workshops, but the point is that as a spiritual person, you don't really want money per se. Your goal has been shifted to money from the goal that you really have. And the goal that you really have is not a concrete end of or achievement. The real goal that you have is that union with God. God is all that is. Although you've forgotten that for the most part. Or you don't have any clue how to get from here to there. So we recommend, if you're going to do a lot of energy, invest a lot of energy in your life, if you're going to do it to make a lot of money, if that's your objective, to make a lot of money, and then I'll be set for life, then I can do this and that and the other. Then, if you're doing that, you're going to be stuck in false motivation and you won't find your flow. You won't get into the flow. The divine flow is the movement that happens normally when you are in your truth, in your true motivation. Then your guides can help you. The path becomes much easier. You are in a flow. Things just flow. Now, of course, there's stuff can happen. There can be objections. There can be interruptions. There can be problems show up here and there. But overall, you'll be in a flow. And this is where you get really high in the physical plane. It's like you get in the flow. Whoa, this is bliss. Yes, it is. So your job, in a sense, as a spiritual being, is to find your way to get from the fake or false motivation of the slave driver to your true motivation. Now, we get a lot of complaints from people like, I am not motivated to do anything. Well, that's because the slave driver has burned your motivation out. People who have chronic fatigue, their motivation got burned out. They're really pissed about it. They pushed and drove themselves harder. And then they finally crash their immune system and the virus takes over. And then they have absolutely zero energy. And why? Why do they have zero energy? Because they don't want to do all of this stuff that they are committed to doing because they think they should be doing it. And if they're doing it, they're a good person. In other words, they're doing it for the wrong reasons. We had, in years ago, the channel was a psychologist, did counseling and so on. And a good friend of hers had chronic fatigue. And he was always exhausted, could barely just make enough food or do an errand to get the food for herself and to feed herself. And her work as a massage therapist, body worker, just, you know, disappeared basically. And so she came over to the channel's house and they were hanging out, just talking as friends. And the channel said, you know, you've got a lot of rage. What about letting that go? Will you be willing? And so she said, yes. So what they did is they had a whole bunch of bottles, glass bottles, ready to go. In those days, they didn't really have much in the way of recycling. So there was just a box of empty bottles, water bottles or something. So the channel wound and Daniel and took the friend out and to behind the garage where there's a wall, and she would scream and holler and throw the glass against the wall, and it would shatter and make a big racket. And she did that screaming and shouting and smashing for like half an hour. And she felt totally weird and totally strange, but it felt good for her to get it all out, to scream and holler and get it all out. For 2 days, she had phenomenal energy. And guess what she did with all that energy? Oh, I haven't done this errand. I haven't done that errand. I didn't make it to the cleaners. I haven't done that. She did all the duty obligation for 2 days. By the third day, crash, she was back where she was. The reason we're saying this is because the slave driver is very specific. If you do duty and obligation, you force yourself to do all of that stuff. You exhaust yourself. And there's a part of you inside, your soul's passion, your spirit's dynamism, that is suppressed, repressed, is feeling abandoned. So the slave driver can destroy you. People who are ill with chronic fatigue, there's generally overbearing slave driver. Now, some people get their slave driver really, really early. The channel got hers really early because her mother was her slave driver. Some of you had slave drivers in your family who drove you and taught you how to keep doing, and never to rest enough, never to play enough, never to have enough fun, but really do things, get on track, or handed you obligations that an adult should be doing, but as a child you had to carry it. So a lot of people, it doesn't occur to them that it could be different. They've had it so long. But this, as you get older, your dreams, which are all fake dreams anyway, because you haven't upgraded them to be current and true for you, those dreams dreamed in your 20s still linger and hover over you, saying, you still haven't gotten here, you still haven't achieved all of this. And the slave driver is saying, look, you're getting older, time's running out, you better hurry. You really got to hurry now, take shortcuts, come on, we got to hurry, we got to get there. So over time, the slave driver can become even more vicious. The slave driver can create high blood pressure, heart disease. It can create so much stress that a person eats too much sugar, gets diabetes, you name it. The stress of the slave driver is an internal stress. And there are people who have so much internal stress going that they cannot handle any external stress because the slave driver's got them in stress mode. Fight or flight mode. Limbic brain is always on, never feeling safe, always pushing, pushing, driving, driving, driving. Is that a spiritual path? Nah. Along with that can come depression, anxiety, panic. It can come physical pain, emotional pain, loss, more separation. Because your reality will say, you know, we got to wake this person up. They came to be on the path, and they're not really on the path. We got to shake them up a bit. We got to get them to come over to the path. And sometimes what this means is that you have to have a wake-up call. You have to have a major disease, car accident, huge relationship disaster, big financial bankruptcy, whatever it is. Have to have something big may have to happen in order to wake you up and get you back to yourself. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk to you about the things, the parts. Once again, we take this whole process of the slave driver, of clearing out the slave driver and getting yourself on your spiritual path. And we have like 8 parts. Now, they're not in any particular order. But they're important to know. And if you are on top of these 8 points, you're going to be able to shift out of slave driver mode, heal yourself, love yourself, value yourself, create, imagine, dream anew, and manifest something different. As you learn and grow and expand to become more of the divine being that you are, i.e., on your spiritual path. So, this past week, as we usually do, we whisper in the channel's ear, and so she has written down the 8 parts we're going to share with you. And again, no particular order, but it is important for you to know these pieces. All right, first of all, you need to change your goal orientation. Now, problem orientation, goal orientation are both linear orientations given to you by your culture. Your culture also teaches you who you need to look like or be like or act like as a man or as a woman. And these are also goals. somehow there's this idea that if you just get there, wherever there is, that you'll be set, you'll be okay. But goals tend to be extremely limiting. And we would suggest use a goal, set a goal, only as a kind of a directional signpost. Now, we understand if you're in business and you're on a cycle and program and whatever that has to work, where you order stuff, bring stuff in, do this, do that, do da ba ba ba. You've got to coordinate that and have it all set out in a linear setup. But what we're talking about is in your psyche. If you are goal-oriented, that means that you will prioritize the goal over the means to get there. And this is where the slave driver catches a lot of people. Because the goal is to be this wonderful, loving person that everybody admires and loves. But how do you get there? You go and you love and you give and you're this great person and so on. And people go, yeah, thank you. And that's about it. And then, okay, all the energy drops out. So I have to do it again. Yeah. Well, the motivation to do it is not so much there. You want to already be at that goal. Now, do you enjoy the journey to the goal? If you enjoy the journey to the goal, enjoy the means to the end, then it's a true motivation. But if you want an end, and then you have to make yourself do the means to get there, that's a false motivation. So that's why we would say, to work with your motivation, make sure that you like what you're doing. If you don't like what you're doing, we have a remedy for that in just a minute. Because we know that you've got duties and obligations you cannot avoid. You've got to have them. But the first thing, though, is to recognize you do not have a goal orientation. There's not an end anywhere. It's just a direction you're going, and you need to enjoy the journey. Now, your ego, when you're a teenager, or an ego is a man or a woman in society, has this static image of who you should look like and what you should be and how it should be. Okay? And the image, the ego needs you to aspire to do that, regardless of what undermining of yourself is required to go there. And so that's why it's very refreshing that in larger cities now, that there's so much more an openness and a willingness to support LGBTQ. That's a mouthful, you know? But to all the people for whom their gender roles don't fit the traditional standard ones. And it's so good that there is alternate spirituality for those people who do not fit into the patriarchal religious model. The same needs to be true for you as far as your medicine. Are you going to go strictly corporate medicine, or are you going to explore natural holistic medicine? It's your choice. What is more natural for you? What is easier and funner for you? Okay. So putting something into a goal will make you look at, okay, to get from here to there, I have to solve problems. And it can make you very problem-oriented and not creating something new. We've talked about this at length. That mindset needs to go. You need to be creative into the means of what you're doing. And remind yourself about that your image is flexible. You don't have to appear in such and such a way. You don't have to impress people. You just want to be expressing yourself. Secondly, And this is probably the pivotal one for most people. You got to fire that damn inner slave driver. When the mind talk begins, you have to shut it up. You have to acknowledge and recognize that is the slave driver. That is not truth. Even if it's been rattling around and cycling around in your head for decades, it is not truth. It's just a bad story. And you never win with a slave driver. So the slave driver, you've got to fire the slave driver. You've got to realize you created the slave driver, installed it, and we call it a sub-personality. In other words, you kind of give it some authority it doesn't really have. And it's kind of a vaguely like your internal parental authority, like your conscience. You know, you get from your parents, oh, I shouldn't do that, I should do that, or that's the way I should be able, I should do it, blah, blah, blah. The instructions you get from your parents that you internalize, it's like that, except now it's about you and your life and the world. The slave driver feels, is set, is created to make sure that you achieve your goals. So the first thing, you have to get rid of the goals and make them signposts, make them directions. Start enjoying the means. But you got to get rid of that slave driver. And the way you do that is by personifying it. Now, it may look like a guy, a big, you know, rich guy in a suit, representing the collective, the consensus reality, telling you what you should do. It might resemble one of your parents. It might like look like some kind of like burly demon. It could have any kind of appearance in your imagination. But you want to personify it. You want to make it like a being. Now, the slave driver was originally your true motivation. And it was there to give you energy when you got excited and wanted to do things. But the reason it's called the slave driver is because it got turned dark and toxic. So when you heal the slave driver, when you fire it, because you installed it, you hired it, okay? You can fire it. So you personify it, give it its gold watch, a nice retirement party, send it off to a beautiful Caribbean island with a palace on it, and let it be served. You know, just give that slave driver the dream and blow it up a little bit bigger too. The collective consensus dream of what is the top success. Okay, give it to your slave driver in fantasy mode. Tell it, you know, thank you, you've done a damn good job. I'm exhausted. You've ridden me hard, okay? But this is it. You're fired. So it served you. It's not something you want to destroy, or you don't need to be angry at it. You created it. Just recognize that since you created it, you simply, like you hire somebody to work for you, when you decide the job is done, you say, okay, I'm letting you go now. And that's what you do to the slave driver. Now, once you do that, you recognize that it's your power the slave driver has been using against you. And that was your choice. So you choose to take your power back from the slave driver. And from that whole pattern of false motivation to drive yourself. Okay. Number three, know your resistances. See, a lot of people just resist the slave driver. The slave driver's beating them up mentally, and they're going like, yeah, I don't want to pay any attention to you. Let me go and play some computer games. Let me go do this. I'm going to escape for a while. I'm going to go over here. I'm not going to pay any attention to you. I'm going to go eat some ice cream. I'm going to do this silly, stupid, time-wasting thing. I'm just going to veg in front of the TV. I'm going to watch old movies. Okay. You have your favorite escapist activities. Most of those are in rebellion against the slave driver. They're resisting, rebelling. You numb out. You ignore the slave driver. And that voice of guilt, the voice of fear, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to play a little bit. But of course, at some point, you start to feel bad in your escapism and you start to feel like you're really a failure or gosh, you start to feel really kind of tired and like, well, I'm not really enjoying this that much anymore, but I don't want to go back to the slave driver. I don't want to get back on that track. Okay, so know how you resist. Know how you refuse to follow the slave driver motivation. Because some of you are very good at refusing the slave driver. But when you do that, you're on the game board with the slave driver and you're dancing back and forth and you never get anywhere and the slave driver tends to win. So, know how you resist, know how you fight, know how you ignore the slave driver, know what your escapist pleasures are, and also whether they really are that pleasureful or not, or just that somehow or another you just have to get away from the pressure that's inside you to stay on track, stay on focus, 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 work, 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 work. No, let me go somewhere else for a while. Now, once you know your resistances, then here's what we would suggest. The slave driver is indeed something that wears you out. And it drains your energy. And you know that. And drains your power and so on, because that's the way you set it up. So what you do is give yourself total and free permission to do your escapist activities. You stand up to the slave driver and say, I choose right now to go do this. That's it. That's the law right now. That's the line. I'm going to go do this fun thing. And you need to give yourself permission to escape. Because eventually that'll lead to you being able to have fun and be free. But this is the first step towards that, is that you find yourself vegging in front of the TV, not wanting to go back to work, not wanting to finish that project you started. You say, okay, I like watching TV and flipping channels. This is where I'm at. I think I want to do this. I choose to stay here. And that brings us to procrastination, which is one of the biggies. Procrastination is a big resistance to the slave driver. Procrastination is where you decide and really inside yourself, but you don't reveal it to yourself. You hide a secret from yourself, but you really don't want to do this activity. You just don't want to do it. So, I don't know. It's just going to be so much hard work. I'm going to have to figure this out. I'm going to blah, 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 blah. I don't want to do it. Okay, I'll do it tomorrow. That feels so good. Oh, I can do something else I prefer to do now. That's procrastination, really. And so for you to be clear on your resistances and rebellion to the slave driver, you need to also be clear on your procrastination. If you procrastinate, then say, okay, I really don't want to do that. So today I choose I'm not going to do that. Do I really want to do that activity? If it's a duty obligation, you have to do it. People are waiting for you to do it. There's a lot of public pressure on you to do it or whatever. Then you have to say, okay, I've got to get in a place of choice about it. I've got to take my power back about it. I've got to choose to do it. You see how we're using choice here? We're using choice as a way to block this automatic knee-jerk pattern of falling prey to the false motivation. You have to first know what is your false motivation, and you have to stop it. And you stop it by choice. You stop it by being in your power to make choices. Okay. So give yourself permission to escape. Give yourself permission to procrastinate consciously. Do it as conscious choice. This breaks that sucky energy, okay, that gets you into a better place. Number four, honor your beingness. The slave driver is all about doing. So, and when it's all about doing and doing up to a goal, generally you will do it as you've been told to do it, or as a consensus would do it, or try to do it as fast or as sloppily as you can, just to get there. So, but your beingness might have a whole different idea about it, because it's in your beingness, sitting with yourself in the silence of yourself, that you can perceive your temperament, your style, your way that's unique to you. And so when you go towards doing and gets involving into a project, going towards a goal, using it as a signpost and getting into the means of it, you need to honor your temperament and your pace and what works for you. And at first, you're going to feel scared that it's not going to work, guilty that you're not doing it right. That's a slave driver saying, no, 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 don't do it your way. Do it my way. Okay, so standing up for yourself has to be done internally first. That's number four. Number five, you need to stay current. You need to stay awake. Because if you don't, the slave driver will pull you right back into fake motivation. Stay current. Keep your choices current. In other words, choose all the time. Don't just assume, hey, I made that choice that this is the way I'm going to do it yesterday. So that's the way it's going to be. It's going to be going my way today. No. No, at first you have to do it. You have to micromanage your choices, because your subconscious mind has been trained to do everything certain ways, to be consistent. And when you start standing up for yourself and making choices, this is not what you've consistently done. So your subconscious mind, which controls all your habits, mental, emotional, physical habits, right, says you're going against your habit. We've got to return you to your habit. Thus, you're out of order. You're doing something strange. So let's get you back to the familiar. So you have to make those choices. If you make the choices, really stay on top of it, within a month, you will have completely changed your life in an incredibly beautiful way. And you'll be in your power. And you'll be on your spiritual path, and it's awesome. But you have to stick with it. You have to stay with it, stay current. Choose with integrity, be empowerment. Don't let yourself fight the slave driver. Don't get on the game board with it. Just keep saying no to it. Pause, reset your motivation frequently. And we're going to take you through that process in the meditation coming soon. Number six. Now, we've talked about this many times too, but you need to maintain a long-term vision of who you are becoming, your future self, this future self you're moving towards. This is the ultimate goal, because this future self knows who you are, is on the spiritual path, It's closer to the emergence, to merging with the divine than you are. And it's happier and in the flow more than you are. That future self, filled with light and radiance. That future self. Okay, that long-term future self is your greater self. It leads to that future of you that is your higher self, which leads to the future of you, which is God, Goddess, all that is. And so by holding a connection to that, a picture to that, an imagination, and that's where you hold it, is in the imagination. You imagine and feel it and sense it and taste it and touch it in your imagination. Make it as real as you can with your future self. And then this creates a resonance for you. And this keeps lifting you up. It keeps putting you more and more into alignment with your spiritual path. Every time you do that, you get onto your spiritual path. And all these like micro decisions that you do throughout the day are going to enable you to stay on this path. And you're going to start really feeling the difference. Okay? Number seven. Now, here's the question that most people are concerned about. I have to take care of my sick mother. I have to work long hours, and then when I get home, I have to take care of the kids. Or I'm the one who's has to do this task or that task. It's up to me. I have these duties and obligations. I cannot just, what's going to happen to these people? What's going to happen to my children? What's going to happen, you know, if I shirk my responsibilities? Well, we do not suggest that you shirk your responsibilities or your obligations or your duties. But we want to remind you that you can shift your attitude about it. You can shift your position of your relationship to all of these duties and obligations into your empowered self, into your free, empowered self. Why? Because originally, when you took on a duty or obligation, you made a choice to do it, even though you didn't feel like you had much. Oh, okay, I guess so. Nobody else is going to do it. I guess I have to do it. Even if it's like that kind of choice, that's just up to you, that's the way it is, got to do it. You still chose it. And the reason we're pointing that out is because it's, again, this is a free will universe. And if you make a choice, even if you're making a choice pretty unconsciously or subconsciously, you can make the choice consciously, and it makes all the difference. In other words, you have this task, this repetitive task, boring task you've got to do. It's your obligation. Okay, so you made a choice to do it because at some point it seemed the right thing to do. When you initially did it, you said, okay, I'll do it. But you didn't maybe think that you were going to do it forever or this long. Or you thought, well, I want to, for example, you decided to go and work long, 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 long hours to pay for your kids' college education. Well, there's a positive purpose that you chose to do all this extra work for. If find whatever that is, because there's something positive in there, some positive reason why you did that. Or chose that and are doing it. Go to that and say, that's what I chose. I chose to do it for this positive reason. That was my true motivation. That was my light-filled motivation, not my false motivation as a victim, as a martyr, carrying burdens. That's my lot in life. That's my story. No. Duty obligations can be such a bear. But when you approach them as just part of your choices, When you hold your power and your resonance and your light and realize the road is who you are becoming, not what you're achieving on the physical plane, when you get that, then you can say, you know, like the old Zen proverb is like, you know, what do you do before enlightenment? Chop wood and carry water. What do you do after enlightenment? Chop wood and carry water. The thing is that you're going to have duties and obligations always. Now, if there are any that you can complete and let go of and not continue, please do that. Unless you discover, I really want to do this. Because if you really want to do it, you're going to have the energy to do it, and it's not going to be a burden for you. You'll be at peace, and you can do it with a positive attitude. But if you can get rid of some of the duties and obligations, wrap them up, conclude them. Of course, you don't want to run away from that. Being irresponsible just puts you right back into victim mode, child mode, powerless mode. And then you have to build yourself back up from scratch. And who wants to do that? So you just finish things up the best you can and finish duties and obligations if you can. Continue the ones that you have to and be in good attitude about that. And if you can finish some, then you can start bringing new stuff in, projects in, things you want to do, things that are more pleasant for you to do, that you can play with and you can ooch your motivation in a more beautiful way. Because when you get your own project going, you want to be able to do it all the time, all the way, without the slave driver at all. So you can maintain your motivation. Few people can do this. But you can do it if you make those micro choices. That if you start, initiate something that's very exciting and you love actually doing it, and you're doing it, oh, wow, that was so much fun. I should be doing a lot more of that now. No, wait. Relax, pause, okay. What do you feel like? Do you want to do some more? Really? Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll do some more on that tomorrow or the next day. Okay. Think about it tomorrow. Think about it the next day. But it's not, don't push yourself that you've got to, oh, I found something I love to do. Now I'm going to do it to death. Right? No, don't do that to yourself. Pace yourself. Find what your temperament is. Find what the right lifestyle is around that particular thing. And as you do that, you'll gradually build up your true motivation muscles. You'll start to be able to sustain your motivation, which is, for the most part, is the real issue here. The slave driver is there to help you sustain motivation, because motivation, it can be pretty flighty. It can be pretty temporary. It can be just an urge and, oh, that's exciting. It's motivation, like passion, it cannot be hot and burning 24/7. You want it to kind of simmer down and be nice and warm and pleasant and just kind of gently go with it and go with it. And eventually you'll find your way into your pace and then you get into your divine flow. Oh, man, you don't even need to have to pick up the pace, but more magic happens. More magic happens in that. More magic happens and you're just kind of floating. Oh, this is so great. And you're feeling so high. And you're doing what you feel called to do. Which brings us to number 8. And that is, make time for you. Have some time for you to create, to dream and imagine, to play, to learn, to grow. Give yourself some time for you. Our recommendation would be to start If you have an extremely busy, overloaded, overwhelming burden of a life, and you're running from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, well, maybe you need to just take 15 or 20 minutes and force yourself to stop all the other activities and sit there. Just sit and be, catch your breath, and just feel where you're at. Loving yourself, value yourself, allow yourself maybe to connect with one of your guides. Just nurture yourself for 15, 20 minutes. Maybe write a poem. Think of something fun you'd like to do in a couple of weeks. Whatever it is, it's your time. If you can expand it to half an hour, that'd be great. The objective is, over time, to move all the things that are the toughest, hardest obligations and so on, to thin them out, clean them up, so forth, and keep bringing in things that you were much more fun to do until your life has a balance of fun. Do something imaginative every day. Imagine something. And so one of the things that we suggest to most people is to imagine your future. Imagine your future self. Go be with your future self. Go sit with him or her and just hang out. Step into your future self. Feel how much expanded, how much freer, how much more empowered, how much more love there is there, and how much more trust in the foundation of your spiritual path you're in, how your feet are on your path. And that's when you can trust your path. You can trust the universe is friendly and it's there for you. It can only be there for you. Your guides can only be there for you when you're there for you. And you can't be there for you if your slave driver is there. You can't be there for you if you're motivated by your ego. You can't be there for you if you're pushing and driving yourself to be somebody you're not, for the sake of pleasing someone else or impressing anyone else or trying to earn your love. Oh, I finally have a potential mate, love mate. I'm just going to do all sorts of things for them. They'll have to love me. That's a manipulation. It's a game. That's not true motivation. It's not going to flow well. Most people don't understand how important getting your motivation correct is. They think all you need to do is read some rags to riches story, get inspired, and go out there and do it. But it's yielded situations like sports in which, like football, for example, American football, in which the amount of head injuries is just ridiculously high, ruins their lives. They have all sorts of nervous debilitations later from their concussions because they had to push and drive to achieve. And they were achieving under tremendous pressure from the team. People do it in their own way, with the collective, with other people, with your community, expecting you to be a certain way. Don't let them do that. That's not your spiritual path. That's not going to bring you the magic, the love. That's not going to bring you the freedom, the empowerment. That's not going to bring you your ecstasy, your joy. All right. So we're going to take a break now. And think about it during the break. How many minutes shall we take?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. All right. Take a 10-minute break. And what we'll be doing is that as after the break, we'll answer any questions that you may have. So line your questions up. Now, the questions we do request are on topic. Please do not bring up questions that require us to give you a special private reading or psychic intuitive angle. That would be much more appropriate for a private session. We would like to focus on this topic since this is so important and so powerful, and we want to know what you want to hear about on this topic. And then we will return, and then after the questions, we will go into meditation. And in the meditation, we will take you through these eight pieces in a process to heal your relationships with a slave driver, to free you, to enable you to be on your spiritual path as the person you came to be, doing what you're called to do. All right. So for now, for the break, farewell. We'll see you later.